I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This might be one of the best accidents that's ever happened in a sport.
Seriously.
Because what happened at Bristol, if we went back today, the teams would adapt and adjust. They'd change the camber. They'd change the toe. They'd change their setup. They would have a much different approach to how they set up their car when they go back to race. And I think from the driver's standpoint and the sports standpoint, this is exactly what we've wanted.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Kevin Harvick's Happy Hour, presented by NASCAR on Fox. I'm Kevin Harvick, Caitlin Bensie, and Mama Smith. And we are here this week to talk about a wild
Nothing to talk about, right? Mm. Literally nothing to talk about.
I'm excited. We got to let this one cook.
Yes,
I gotta
tell you.
Kevin, I got to tell you, you've done a great job with all these so far.
He really has.
Well, I think a lot of that comes from you and giving me the proper way to use all of these phrases and words. So this week I had to go back and ask for a vowel or a proper explanation. So in the spelling bee, I don't know that I would have done very good, but I definitely needed a definition of
using a sentence
of how to use this in a sentence.
I had to look it up too, honestly, because you know, for the listeners and viewers, Mamba will send us the phrase or words to the group text. And then when I saw it, I was like, I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
So for anyone else who didn't know what it meant, it was let someone do their thing.
Yeah. It's like,
is that kind of
let him cook. Let him or her cook, which means let them do what they do best and just let them go. And Kevin put it in perfectly with Kyle Larson. Let's roll the tape.
Let's go make the best of it. Have a good night.
Yeah, and as I listen to that, I think Cliff is sitting on a pit box just thinking, you know what, boys, today I'm just going to let him cook.
I love it.
But it's Kyle
Larson.
It's
very well done.
And you do just let him cook,
right? You just let him do his thing behind the wheel. And Cliff just teed me up perfectly with his radio conversation. And maybe it was Chuck, our producer Chuck, in giving me something that led right into where I could use it. But it worked out perfectly, and I didn't have to think about it for the opening part of the show.
Listen, it's a team effort, and I do have to. I need some help from Josh over here, but. Because you picked Denny Hamlin to win the race, and you did win, I feel like celebratory beers.
Look at this.
Were
necessary,
and that's why I needed a straw for.
This
Katie.
Is what that was about. He asked you for a straw.
And if you'll pass this over to our
okay. A little frothy.
Where'd we
in
get
here.
This beer?
Is probably it
fresh?
Probably
yeah, it's fresh.
Okay.
2012, yeah. Maybe.
All right. Oh, it's even cold.
Yeah. Well, it came from my house right before I got here.
We're toasting the fact that. I picked the winner.
You picked the winner. Okay. So congratulations.
Yeah. Cheers.
Yes. Cheers.
First well done on the winner. First one who got it right all year, huh? Mm.
That's definitely a different way to start
that
the
is.
Show.
Hey, it is happy
than
hour.
I expected today. So yeah, we're living
hour.
Up to our name. Happy
we really
hour right
are.
Here.
Yes. Well, I will say too, back to the word thing you've done. I've been very impressed with how you've been able to put those in so easily. And like, I wouldn't even notice if I didn't know.
Yeah.
We're playing the game.
Well, the first week with Lit, I think it completely sent Bubba Wallace sideways on what was happening with the question and the things he didn't know. So it's been fun. It kind of gets me out of my box it takes a little bit of thought to be able to realize that you have to do something that you're a little bit uncomfortable with because you know that if you misuse whatever that word or phrase is, it could go drastically wrong. So there is a little bit of pressure.
There is. Yeah. What does Mike Joy think of it? Do you got to explain the words to him? I bet.
So Mike is used to this little game with words.
Okay.
And apparently this is obviously not a new scenario, but we're using a much different generation of words than Mike and I
right.
are used to. So
didn't know that this wasn't new.
No,
you're dropping some TBT over here.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so apparently it's kind of fun and little side bets that kind of of different words or phrases. Mike can use much bigger words than I can, as you know.
Yeah.
And so this, we have to keep this simple, but fun.
Easy.
We got the Mike Joy bobbleheads over here.
Right.
Do you want to show? We got him repaired. So funny story about him. This was sent to my house. When I opened it up, Mike Joy's head was off.
Pick him up.
So now we have it repaired. Good to go. We got a full
They got booth. Kevin's.
Everyone's heads on.
They got Kevin's silver foxness in there really perfectly.
Blake's head won't move.
Is not.
It's probably shouldn't move.
It probably shouldn't move.
Damn, Clint taking strays out here, my boy.
All right. Okay. So we're here at episode 9. By the way, you didn't let me say my deal about subscription to our YouTube. Make sure you follow us on Facebook, Instagram, X, TikTok, on Harvick Happy Pod. We're so grateful to everyone who's been tuning in and listening every single week, which has been awesome.
Thank you.
But now it's time to talk about the race.
Yes.
And I don't even really know where to start. So I'm just going to let you start on what you're...
So we drop the green flag and they take off. And the next thing you know, we've got cars just dropping like flies, going backwards, some cars going forward. And we knew that qualifying, it all started in qualifying because we had Ross Chastain qualify last. Chris Buescher was in the back. Carson Hocevar, you know, tried to spin out. And every time somebody would try to push the car any faster than it was capable of going, they would get loose into three, they'd get loose into one, they'd step out. And second lap wasn't very good. So qualifying was very strange to start the weekend. So it had the field really mixed up. So we thought at the beginning of the race, and there's going to be a lot of people coming and going. There's a lot of good cars in the back. But we got to lap 30 and we had big problems. and the big problems. We had big problems with the way that cars were handling. And so, the first caution came out and everybody goes into pit and the tires are wore out, which we had been informed that the right side tires in practice had been completely worn out. And a lot of guys really confused after practice. Chase Elliott gave probably the best interview after practice, just talking about how confusing practice was and didn't really know what to think of his car. Group A and B were drastically different in speed and in the way that the cars would fall off. We're talking like 0.4 different with the fast laps comparable in the way that they fell off. So we get through qualifying and that first run was like, wow, maybe it'll get better as they lay some rubber down, but it didn't get better the second run either. So I got to give credit to the teams though, because after the second run, it was like, hey, we got to do something different here. And really after the third set of tires that they put on, they only had 8 sets of tires plus their qualifying tires. So they knew immediately we have a tire wear issue that we weren't prepared for. We have to change the way that we're driving, the lap times and the pace. And then we started to see a good old-fashioned late model stock race you had to pace yourself to take care of your tires and do the things that you needed to make sure that you could go far enough, because really what was happening in the first half of the race was they were racing from who was going to be the first caution. You just didn't want to be the first caution. So there was a sense of survival that you had to instill in your mindset, and you had to back that pace up. So we saw the Gibbs cars back the pace up to like 17 flats, which is in my mind super slow for a Bristol lap time.
Right.
But all of a sudden we had everybody backing up. Well, everybody's like, well, this is a good chance to get track position. So we had guys driving, passing a bunch of cars, and they'd get to the front and then the other guys would be like, well, I want that track position. And just like a cars tour, late model stock race. And so a lot of these guys had done that. And as we got towards the end of the race, the Gibbs cars picked up the pace and were able to, they had everybody beat with the way that their cars were handling. They were just better than everybody else and they completely controlled the race.
So the big story from this race, of course, was the tire management, and the veterans prevailed. I mean, we saw a lot of strength from Ty Gibbs, but he probably has never experienced something quite like that before.
Right.
And so the veterans, of course, rose to the occasion with Denny Hamlin winning.
Yeah. So I think, you know, it comes down to experience a little bit. Obviously, at this level, Ty's never had to do that. He's won plenty of late model races, so it's not like he's not used to doing it, just not in a long time like this. And it kind of fell right into Denny's wheelhouse. But I will say, Martin Truex Jr. was chomping at the bit. Mm-hmm. Like, the amount of pressure that Martin was putting on Denny at the end, and then it looked like an old cup race from Bristol where like traffic's in the way
yeah.
and they're double filed. There's nowhere to go. And I really felt like the move of the race, and Kevin, you let me know what you think here, but I felt like the move of the race was Bubba getting the tap down the backstretch from Denny on the top. Cause it was Ross Chastain inside of Bubba and it was Martin Truex inside of Denny. And they get down into three and Bubba moves up the hill mm-hmm. and allows Denny to go. And then he gaps Martin by like six car lengths.
Yeah.
And he never could get back. Like, I feel like if Martin could have stayed there, it would have been maybe a different finish. But because he couldn't apply that pressure anymore, Denny was kind of able to skirt away.
Yeah, Denny came out of the pits at the green flag stop a little bit ahead. And then there were two or three of those instances where the traffic held him up when those side-by-side instances where Martin would catch back up. But I still think Denny had a better car mm-hmm. and was able to mm-hmm. maneuver. They had definitely caught up right there. Because of those cars being side by side. And Denny just gave the bumper to Bubba and said, "Hey man, we're racing for the win. I'm lapping you. Get out of the way.
I own this thing.
I own you. Get out of the way.
Help me out, Bub."
Yeah, that's right. And so the 11 car, they did a great job of adjusting on their car. And mm-hmm. at the beginning of the race, it wasn't as good as it was in the middle and the end. And it just kept getting better. And then once that strategy came into play of how hard to run your car, and knowing how hard to run your car, we heard Chris Gabehart and Denny talk about that once on the radio, and just, hey, we got to take care of it. We got to pace ourselves, and that fell right into Denny's wheelhouse. You know, Martin did a great job too, but I think when you look at, I mean, Denny grew up racing at Southside Speedway and having to yep. take care of the tires and a lot of racetracks in the Southeast like that. That's the style of race that a Denny Hamlin, a Josh Berry. Ty Gibbs raced a lot of late model stocks. There's a lot of guys that have done that around here. And that was exactly the way that it worked out.
As you were watching it, did you kind of wish you were back in the car for a second?
I didn't.
I didn't. He said,
"Not even
nope. Yeah. No.
But you probably would have prevailed with that.
It probably would have been a pretty good day, but you never know. And if your car is off on days like that, it's miserable
mm-hmm.
because you're getting lapped and you can't really figure out anything that makes it better. So, and when you have a race like that you're unprepared for, it frustrates you because mm-hmm. you have a plan, you go to the simulator, you put all this thought into what you think is going to happen, and then it's 180 degrees of what you'd planned for. Uh-huh. And that's the frustrating part for the drivers. For us, it was great. And I think when the drivers go back and they really think about a lot of the meetings that we've had with Goodyear, a lot of the meetings that we've had with NASCAR, we have asked for the tires to wear out to the cords. Sure, this was extreme. But,
this was definitely
extreme. And I don't know, as we saw with Goodyear in the media center talking through what was happening, I really think they were on damage. They thought they were on damage control. This might be one of the best accidents that's ever happened in a sport.
Seriously.
Because what happened at Bristol, if we went back today, the teams would adapt and adjust. They'd change the camber. They'd change the toe. They'd change their setup. They would have a much different approach to how they set up their car when they go back to race. And I think from the driver's standpoint and the sports standpoint, this is exactly what we've wanted and asked for. I just hope we know how we got here. That's right. That's my yeah. big concern. Is yeah. We didn't expect to be here, and here we are. But this is maybe, as Brad Keselowski said, this might have been a 10 on the tire wear scale. Maybe we need to back it down to an 8. But I think you'd back it down probably to an 8, just going there again, knowing what to expect. Yeah. So my vote is we make the tires right now and we lock them in the shed at Bristol and we go back there for the fall.
Bolt them back up.
Because they're going to automatically be better. And yeah. I love the fact that the tires wear out and your setup matters. We didn't hear anything about an aero push.
Nope.
Nothing. There was not one word about aero push and aerodynamics and short track packages or whatever the situation was. All we heard about is I need to do, my car needs to handle better. My tires are wore out. I went too fast. There were, you had options. Yeah. And I love that about what we just saw.
I also loved what Chris Gabehart, crew chief, of course, for Denny Hamlin was saying, like, this is sport. This is supposed to be hard. And he was like very adamant about the fact he didn't want people criticizing Goodyear, that this, he actually welcomed this challenge. And that makes it even more interesting for the crew chiefs, the drivers. Everyone had their work cut out for them with this situation unfolding.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we do this for, to compete and to try and be better than each other. Now, maybe you didn't know what was happening, but when it rains, you don't expect that part of it either. You know what I mean? And you just do what you got to do to get the best finish of the day. And to your point, when Brad Keselowski was talking to Bob Pockrass as Bob was trying to run backwards and do his interview at the same time, he was like, yeah, it was like, you know, some races we have, the tires are like a one or a two in the matter category. I personally feel like if it's more of an eight or a nine, like all the time, then the drivers and the teams are going to adjust.
Right.
And it's more fun for us to watch rather than the tires never mattering and maybe there's no pit stops. And then that changes the strategy. And as a driver, I feel like at that level, it makes it more entertaining.
Well, the other thing that I like about this scenario is how NASCAR handled it.
Yeah.
We knew 100 laps in that we were short on
tires. We had a problem.
And Elton Sawyer was in our booth and he says, hey, not for air, but here's our plan. And you could see the little ants starting to scurry around from the Goodyear building and tires started moving. And, you know, NASCAR took their time and making sure the racetrack was clean and everything for the first couple of stages. But when they gave out that extra set of tires, it's like, all right, boys and girls, you know exactly what you have. The race is on to the end of the race. You've got enough tires. If your tires are bald, come on in the pits. You've got plenty of sets to put on to get you to the end of the race, and you need to manage it. We've been in races like this before in the rain. We've been in races like this with tires. We've had asphalt come up, and this is just the way that it happens. This is big boy auto racing here.
Big boy auto racing. Boy, I like
yes,
that.
Sir.
This is
there's going to be circumstances like this that pop up again, and you got to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And, but let me reiterate again, this was one of the best accidents that's ever happened to our sport. And Goodyear has proven that they can make a tire that will wear out. So we need to know why, and we need to do it again. And, you know, maybe we can run a thicker tread on that particular tire and take it back. But talking to some of the folks that went and did the wet weather testing at Bristol,
yep,
which is why we did not have the same track compound with the PJ1. Mm-hmm. We went back with the resin on the bottom of the racetrack this time because the PJ1 was too slick in the rain. And that's how they tested. They tested with the PJ1 residual on the racetrack. It's not a resin or a PJ1 thing, because when they tested with the PJ1 on the racetrack at the tire test for the wet weather test, the track did the same thing. The tires were worn out in 25, 30 laps and they had high tire wear. They were under the assumption that it was just because the track was green, but it was on the PJ1 that was left over. There was no track treatment. It was just how it was in the fall. So that tells me that, you know, the resin didn't have anything to really do with what we had on the racetrack. It was the tire. And I loved it. I loved every minute of it.
I think one of my favorite parts about it was we sat here last week and I said, I wish we would have old school Bristol back.
You did say
that. I said,
yeah.
I wish we could have them on the bottom, rooting together, beating the snot at each other. And that's exactly what happened.
That's right.
I mean, yeah. I didn't know it was going to be like that, but like there was only a lane and a half. You either bottom or kind of the top, and you'd let it kind of diamond up and you had to find a new groove, but they weren't around the top. And you know, some people got run over and some people got their feelings hurt.
And look, we talked about horsepower last week, right? We were searching for problems to solve things that we thought could make it better.
Well,
guess what? We don't need any freaking horsepower. If we can make tires like that, we don't need more horsepower.
Then all the drivers have it all in their hands.
We didn't know this was even an option.
Didn't know.
Well, it's an option because we have proven that it's an option. So mm-hmm. I want to know why. I want to know how this happened, and I want to see it happen again.
Yep.
And I don't want to see it happen to the degree that it just happened. But if you don't have anything else, go ahead and bring those back. they'll figure it out. Those teams will get better.
Listen, Kevin talked about, this is big boy auto racing, and not everyone was up for the challenge, and you could tell. But someone who was up for the challenge was the guys in the four camp. Josh Berry.
Yes.
Up and back and up and back.
Back again, yeah.
And he was there, though, when it mattered.
That's right.
And he had a shot at making some noise. And good for him, man.
He was having a blast, too, on the radio, saying, like, how awesome it was.
And you know, this is right up Josh Berry's alley. Yeah. I mean, he was an absolute master at late model stock racing in these types of races and figuring out how to make his car easy on the tires and do the things that it needed to do. They had one moment where, you know, he spun out during the race and got behind and they were able to battle back. But I think they ran almost 70 laps at the end of the race. Mm-hmm. And that is what those guys needed. They needed a good solid day. They started on the front row. And that's going to be a huge confidence boost for the Rodney and Josh to, here we see the spin. But I think the right rear tire was just bald because when you go back and look at how that started, it was just a simple slide on the entry to the corner and it just never stopped because, this is stuff that has happened before in this car. When we went to Vegas the first time with this car, the right rear tires completely would wear out and it's like a light switch when that happens. All of a sudden you're driving. And when it starts to hit those cords, you know, as a driver, I'm out of rubber. I'm going to have another tire. And you know that you just got to slow down.
So Josh Berry had a good day. It was fun to watch him go from the back to the front several times. What'd you make of Kyle Busch's day? We saw the old reverse driving once again. He's good for about one or two reverse drives every season. Anytime I see it unfolding, I'm like, oh boy, here we go.
It's always on TV when he does it.
It's always on TV. And usually when he's extra agitated, it seems.
He is aggravated.
Aggravated.
He is agitated, aggravated. However, whatever words you want to use, he is definitely frustrated. And last week at Phoenix, they had a super tough weekend. You know, we started this race at Bristol and he was diming in the corners and pulling the car back down and had no idea that the tires were going to do what they did.
Yeah.
And his first run was ugly at the end of the run, first couple runs. And so, Kyle's had a tough time and really in the next gen car at Bristol hasn't been the same for him, as it was in the previous generation of car. He's an 8-time winner at Bristol, but it's not been as good for him in the next gen car.
I was excited at the beginning because he was moving forward. I'm like, I can't wait to get on the show on Tuesday and tell Kevin how my pick got it done. And then it went away very quickly.
Womp. Yeah, it went away. He was driving in reverse. That looks really hard to do, by the way.
Yeah.
He was doing it pretty quick.
He does it quick and very efficient.
Yeah, he's that's a lot of downshifting to put it into reverse and neutral. And it's definitely intentional.
Yeah, that's
for sure.
From fifth to reverse.
It's intentionally like... It's like that Days of Thunder moment.
It is, literally.
Harry, put the tires back on my car. Put the tires on my car. It's going to come down to one of those moments where he's going to drive out of the pits and stuff it right into the side of the pace car or something.
Yeah.
Bummer.
He's been having a rough one. And they're having woes on pit road, like week out.
Yeah.
Which is tough.
You know, you look at the three team, top 10 pit crew on
the
pit road.
Austin trend continues, you mentioned last week, for both Cindric and
I feel so bad.
Dylan.
For the Austins, they just they're having trouble at the beginning of these races. Wrong place, wrong time. And it's been a rough start for them.
What about our race winner, Denny Hamlin? Not surprising, of course, to see him win at Bristol. But that team, we've talked about the chemistry with his crew chief, you know, Chris Gabehart before. But just they could be a real threat. Is this the year, the championship year? How long have we been saying that?
Yeah.
But hey.
Well, I can tell you it's the year right now.
Yes.
They should have won last week too. Mm-hmm. They had a shot to win last week and Denny spun out and that was one of my favorite speeches that I've heard from Chris Gabehart, just saying, "Hey, stuff happens and we need to regroup, get everything we can out of the day," and here they are the very next week in victory lane in some very unique circumstances. But Denny's led all five races this year.
Yep.
Been in contention at most every race and in some way, shape, or form at some point. And I love his crew chief. I think Chris Gabehart is just one of those special guys that is just super detail-oriented. The way he talks and speaks to Denny and the way they discuss things is very straightforward. And I think that, you know, sometimes Denny can be one of those guys that doesn't think you know what you're talking about. And if you show any weaknesses of what you're talking about and he can get there, get something up on you. Mm-hmm. And that is just not the case. You can see and hear the respect from Denny towards Chris. And anything that Chris says to Denny, it's just like, yes, sir.
Yep.
I'm going to do it. And he's telling me, I believe it. And if he's telling me to drive off the cliff, I'm going to go drive off the cliff. And that's what you want in that driver crew chief combination, is just that willingness to just lay in front of a truck if he tells you to lay in front of a truck, or drive it off a cliff if he tells you to drive it off a cliff. And they have that. They have 100% belief in each other and with the way that all those Gibbs cars ran at Phoenix and winning this week and how well they've performed, I think it's he's got a shot this year.
The three crew chiefs that I would go to war with without hesitation, and it's Rodney Childers, Cliff Daniels, and Chris Gabehart. They, just the way that they operate, they're leaders of men, and they make people want to work
leaders of men
and give them their best. And being on Cliff's kickball team for 6 years,
well, trust me, of course,
he yelled at me a lot.
Yeah,
we won a lot, but and then you know, being at SHR when we got this championship in 14, like you saw it, you're like, no, I want to work for this guy.
Yeah,
if you went to war with Rodney Childers, he's just a steady Eddie. Has he ever raised his voice in your whole career with him?
No, but you believed everything that he said.
Yep. And well, that's
there's
good.
There's a lot of times that I would sit there and watch afterwards. I'm like, did you really know what was going on right there? Because I don't think you really knew what was going on.
That's amazing.
And sometimes as a crew chief, you have to be able to do the best thing from a psychology, mental coach standpoint to put your driver back in where he needs to be. And you deal with it later. But during that time, the driver's never second guessing what you're thinking because you're just not thinking that he would do that to you right now.
Yeah.
So, and I have some bad news for you. Cliff's going to bench your ass this year because, I mean, you're hobbling around like a...
Achilles. Yeah, what's the Achilles update?
Like you're down a limb. So your kickball days are over.
Yeah, we're getting a couple opinions on the situation for the Kickball Classic, for Corey LaJoy's Kickball Classic this year.
When is that?
It is October, so it's
got
Charlotte.
Some time.
Yeah, it's yeah,
you can heal
weekend.
Up.
Okay.
It just depends. Like if we can PT this thing, we'll be fine. If we got to go
what
under
you
the knife,
do is quit screwing around and just go get it fixed, so you can be on the kickball team.
There you go.
I got some other things I need to do that first, so we'll see.
We should get Kevin to play this year. We should get a Fox team together. How does it work? Is it like
I have
teams?
A team.
Yeah, oh, it is? Yeah,
we've had a team every year.
Oh, Josh is Josh is always a part of it.
Josh
he doesn't
Rodano?
Play. No,
oh, he plays.
No.
Josh plays.
Jones. Oh, he does?
He plays. The first year that we did the team, I went and I got there and the first guy that kicked was Josh's best friend. And he kicked, and I swear to you, his hamstring locked up, flopping around like a fish. And he had the biggest black and blue hamstring. For some reason, that's how I envision you, minus the black and
Listen,
blue hamstring.
First off, I'm a 4-time MVP of the kickball league.
Oh,
like a 7-time
really? Is that on your Twitter bio?
No, it doesn't need to be. MVP? Everyone just knows who the man is when it comes to kickball. I will say, you need to ask Kyle Busch about playing kickball. He played the first year, and then they had the roll, because the roll was that weekend. And I saw him walking around the track. I'm like, hey, man, how's the hammy?
Oh,
it's still locked up. I'm like, good luck today then.
Like, I'd like to see Kyle Busch and Brad Keselowski in a one-on-one basketball game. What do you think?
I don't want to do that to
BK?
Him.
BK?
Yeah.
We've seen him play basketball
I
before.
I think that would be amazing.
Have you seen those clips?
It would be pure
of him playing.
Can you shoot?
I mean, I get beat by my 11-year-old, so I don't have much room to talk. But
your 11-year-old's pretty sporty, though, athletic, though.
It depends on the day. But don't tell him that.
I'm just saying.
He doesn't need to hear that.
He doesn't need to hear that. No. He's already doing enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every time you like pump him up a little bit more, it's like 4 times what you thought you just did.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. All right. To be determined on this whole kickball.
Yeah, we'll come back to that.
Wait, are you a steel-toed boot guy? Are you legal?
No, I'm legal.
What kind of shoes do you wear?
Usually some type of Puma.
There you go.
Soccer cleats.
All right, guys.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Let's talk about Austin, Texas, going off to Circuit of the Americas this weekend. First road course race of the year with this new aero package. Now they've added a set of tires plus 20 additional minutes for practice.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting for the teams. What are we thinking? I mean, because we've only been going there for a couple of years. We've had three Cup Series races at COTA, but first road course race. This should be interesting to see who's rising to the occasion at this.
And I just can't get used to calling it Austin, so I'm going to call it COTA.
It's COTA. Yeah. It is COTA.
I just COTA is just COTA, right?
Yeah.
It's not Austin.
Austin is the Austin.
So you don't want me to say Austin anymore?
Well, I don't know. I think it's COTA. just a suggestion.
Okay, we'll just do Coda then. That's fine.
So when I go back and look at this, and we're gonna have Tyler Reddick on Thursday in our interview, and he made some interesting comments during that interview about how terrible he was at road racing. Oh. And apparently he ran into the back of me one day at the Roval.
Oh, geez.
And because he didn't know what he was doing is the way that he would describe it. But
do you remember that or no?
I don't.
Is that news to you?
And he said, after that race, I realized I was embarrassing myself. I finished like 33rd. And he did all these different things to get himself prepared. And we showed up at COTA that first year when he went the first year he won mm-hmm. with RCR. And he absolutely annihilated everybody right out of the box in practice, in qualifying, and won the race. And I think you'll hear his willingness and just how eager he is to win every week, because he feels like he's in a position to win races. He's got everything that he wants and asks for. He's got the way he presents himself is just different. But I look at that going to COTA. I think he expects to go win the race this weekend. And mm-hmm. they were obviously very good last year to get that first to get the COTA win last year. And so I'm a believer that Tyler Reddick will be in the mix. I think Ty Gibbs will be in the mix. Mm. Yep. You've got SVG and Allmendinger. So I think it's going to be an interesting race. We've got some different sections of the racetrack that they have repaved to take out some of the swells and bumps in. Mm. A lot of the MotoGP guys thought that the bumps were too big, so they redid the track. Nothing to do with NASCAR.
Right.
They redid it for the motorcycles, actually. So going on, through turn 10 onto the back stretch, they're going to carry a lot more speed. So I predict, a little bit more speed down the backstretch into that next corner. So it'll be an interesting weekend, but definitely some good road racers in the field.
He mentioned it. Shane Van Gisbergen is mm-hmm. back. So is Komai Kobayashi.
Yeah.
He will be there for 23-11.
I'm glad you said it.
I looked up the pronunciation today. I found an actual article where you could hit play and they that's all they said
a couple times.
I couldn't make sure that I said it right, but that's what makes it interesting. I mean, when SVG put himself on the map in terms of the NASCAR world when he ran that Chicago race, so we know that he will be a threat.
I mean, he's really talented, but as long as AJ Allmendinger is in the race, no matter, I don't care what road course it is, that's the guy I'm always looking at. That's who I would always put my money on. He just figures it out on all the different types of road courses. And I think this one is going to be, this is the trickiest turn one that we go to. Like, if you can't get out the other side of turn one, there's no way that you can win the race. And the way they dive bomb in there, like, eight wide, like, as long as it's pavement, they're trying to get to you. Yeah. So I think for this race, and now SVG, there's a lot of things that really set up nicely in Chicago. Yes. And he did a great job, but it was everyone's first time. So now he's coming to a place that everyone's been and he hasn't, as far as in the NASCAR Cup Series. So I think it's going to be interesting. I think he's going to be in the mix, but I think Tyler Reddick, Ty Gibbs, AJ Allmendinger.
SVG's actually been there. He ran a supercar race there.
He ran a supercar race there.
So it's really the first racetrack that he's been to that he actually has experience at.
Good for him.
Restart zone, move back. So most of the field will be in the last corner, trying to get the field spread out a little bit before we get to turn one.
Come on.
Really, I think what'll happen is they're just going to have more room to dive in there a little bit from a little bit further behind. So there will be people mad. Everybody's going to be mad at somebody by the time they get done at turn one on the restarts at COTA. So Barry, it's one of my favorite road courses to drive because of just the way that it flows. I wasn't a spectacular road course racer, but the way that this racetrack flows and it's a really long lap to not make a mistake. At some point, you're not gonna put it all together. So it's a fun place to drive. Looks like it's gonna be dry. So
it's always good.
It's probably one of the scariest moments that I've ever had in a race car.
That first year there,
the first year in the rain, you could not see anything.
That was crazy.
And everybody was like, "We gotta race in the rain." And finally, I'm literally going down the back straightaway, riding against the guardrail so I can find the next corner. I'm looking to the left.
That's kind of scary.
Going down the back straightaway. And that's when they all checked up in front of me. I ran over Bubba Wallace. And remember, that's when Cole crashed. His car was on fire and the cars were still going. You literally could not see anything with all the spray going down the back straightaway. And the way that Cody is, all that water runs from the top of the racetrack down to the back straightaway. So it was probably the most frightened that I've ever been in a race car.
I guarantee it. I mean, it was a scene out of the movie Driven. Remember that movie Driven?
Yeah.
With Sylvester Stallone? That's what it looked like. You guys were like, you couldn't even, on the broadcast, you only could see one car at a time.
Yeah.
And then the lights.
Yes.
So there's no way that I would have felt comfortable doing that.
There was not anything comfortable about it. And big wrecks, big contact. And you had no idea that it was coming.
Well, I'm glad the weather's looking better then for this weekend. As I mentioned before, three races there. Chase Elliott won the first one, which that was kind of a mess. Ross Chastain, what do you expect to see out of him this weekend? Because I feel like it's been a bit of a more quiet season so far for Ross. But he got his first career win there, first for Trackhouse. So what do you think we might see out of the old watermelon farmer?
Yeah, well, I think they'll run good. I think that SVG will make that the road racing program better at Trackhouse just because of his expertise in that category. And it gives you something else to shoot for from, just a good old stock car driver standpoint. You don't want the road race guy to come in there and show you up. So most of our guys in the Cup Series now are very capable road course racers. And racing with Allmendinger for so long, it just elevates the fact that everybody can get better and everybody has gotten better at the road racing stuff as we've seen with Reddick and Ross Chastain and Ty Gibbs is going to give them a run for their money. I think he's definitely a really good road racer. And, you know, a lot of the first time winners that we've had lately have come on road courses.
That's true.
So being able to, this might be the weekend for Ty Gibbs to get the W.
We are going to keep on that Ty Gibbs train until it happens. We've been mentioning him every episode, but we got faith in the young Ty.
I understand. When you have your guy,
you got to will it.
I mean, I will.
He's been in the mix every week.
Yeah.
He has.
It just comes down. It's like this week we talked about the mistakes and just the things that the veterans did well at the end. And at the end, he just had two or three little things in traffic and just got put in the fence and it just, same thing for Christopher Bell, just wore his car out a little bit compared to the old guys that were in the front. And those are just things that you learn as you go through time. But I promise you, the lessons in the front are much better than the lessons in the back.
Yeah.
Being able to race in the front teaches you how to be a winner.
Yeah. My favorite part of this racetrack is after turn one, and then you get into the S's. It just seems like the way we race here, you can really work each other through the S's without wrecking. And it seems like it's the most entertaining part of the racetrack is through the S's side by side.
Yeah, and the interesting part for what NASCAR does at COTA is there's a lot of runoff outside of the curbs.
Yeah.
So through the S's, you can run over all the way over the curbs as long as the opposite side tires are still on the curb. So you'll cut pretty much as much as you can to keep the opposite right or left side of the tires on that inside curb. So you'll straighten out those S's. But when you get over to six and into seven, you have to have the car in the right spot. So a lot of times you carry too much speed into that part of the racetrack real easily. And you slide past where you want to be on the racetrack. And if the car is not positioned to where it needs to be for 7, 8, 9, it becomes difficult to get through 10 correctly. So it's a fun racetrack. You can make a lot of speed by putting the car in the right spot. You can also lose a lot of speed because the car is not in the right spot by carrying too much speed. It's very easy through the S's. It's easy through, the back section is very technical. But it'll also be interesting to see those new sections of pavement if that makes some of that less technical and you're able to get away with more.
You also wear out your tires there quite a bit, which is a hard thing to manage.
Yeah, some of that asphalt, like the corner coming onto the back straightaway, I don't remember if that's 10 or 11. I think it's 11. there's so many corners in the three-point whatever-mile lap that Joey Hand used to make fun of me because of it would take me forever to just remember where I was going. I had never been there. You know, a lot of guys had been to the racetrack, and we never tested there or did anything there. So it would take me half my simulator session just to figure out where the hell I was going. because it was hard for me to remember what I was doing. So we'd do all that on the fly, but it's got good markers. They're good brake markers, and once I did it once, you know, you had a pretty good reference. But some of those markers will change. I love the fact that they're having an extra practice. Mm-hmm. I think that would be good at a lot of places. One extra set of tires, and you know, being able to make more laps, because that first session is usually so short, you never have time to kind of take a breath and before qualifying. So I like the fact that they're having a second session.
Have you called a road course race yet in the booth and in your Xfinity stuff?
I called the truck race last year. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, you were with us with trucks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So you'll be
definitely different. Mm-hmm. But fun. Road racing's fun. And I think being able to explain all the different strategies and just the way that the guys have to brake and downshift and all the things that they do in the car is even more spectacular than what they do on the oval. So there's a lot going on inside the car for sure.
Will Chief Hype be out there this weekend? You going?
I'm going.
You are?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
For your other duties?
Yeah. So I'm not doing driver intros, but we got a little vlog action. Oh, with the YouTube page, Mama Smith 34 YouTube page. We're
dropping a vlog, look at this episode.
Okay,
a vlog episode.
Yeah, so
love it. We'll be on the lookout for that.
Yeah,
curious to see what headlines come out of the Austin COTA weekend. COTA. Yeah. One other headline though that I want to touch on for a moment. We discussed it last week on the show, the horsepower. Bob Pockers put out an article kind of detailing this, talked with drivers, with, you know, NASCAR personnel, people that work on engines, a lot of different insight within that article. And I know you also have gotten some additional
information. Well, I did a little bit of research and trying to figure out, all right, what's the reality here? We hear so many different rumors of what happens. I think the reality of the situation is that I've learned is you're not just going to turn the spigot on and switch over to big horsepower. Because in the end, there's no way that the development of the manifolds and all the things that are happening inside the engines can't be different in order to maximize power. Now, sure, they're going to spend that same amount of money on development that they would, but they're also going to have to, if they have a different horsepower for short tracks and road courses, they would need to have a different engine rotation. So there's more to it. There needs to be a runway to how do we get there? Well, the first thing we need to do is put the freaking horsepower in the car at one of these damn tests and let's see if it's better.
Right. Okay?
We've got three different engine builders. Build an engine. Okay, please build me an engine and just tell me if it's better. If it's not, I will shut up. Okay?
You heard
it. If it is better, let's give the engine departments a runway to get there next year so that we can have more horsepower. If not, let's just be done with it.
Yeah.
So there's way more to it than just turning the spigot on and saying, hey, we want more horsepower. And I think it's you have to be fair to the engine shops and give them the proper path to get there and understand what the rotation would be, what the development would be, all the things that come with changing it. But why can't we test it?
Hey, Harvick, not happy pod.
Yeah, Harvick, not happy hour.
I don't
right
understand.
Now,
let's test segment. It. Let's quit talking about it. Let's just get it over with.
I mean, I'm with you. Like we test everything else.
Everything.
We try everything else. So we literally have got to this point where this is the last thing to try. And we talked about it like before we had the 550 package, right? And then you guys tested it with more horsepower and went this way.
We did the initial next gen test at Charlotte. And everybody was like, oh, I'm out of things to do. I don't really know what to try. Doug Yates says, here, put this on. We put 200 horsepower in the car. And it was like, oh, this is so much better. So many more options as a driver. And here we are. That's what we're racing. And I just, I get a little bit frustrated with the fact that we just can't put it in a test to see if it's even a path that we even need to go down. Because really, when we put diffusers, splitters, all these other things, there's been several times that we said, oh, this is really going to make a difference when you look at CFD and some of the different things. And it really doesn't matter. Right. And I just, I know that all the engine shops can do it. And I think it just needs to be put in a car and tried at one of the tests to see, let's just see what the difference is.
Yeah.
The other thing I can tell you though, we don't need the engine.
We just saw
if the tires will wear out.
I was going to ask you.
If the tires will wear out, we don't even need to talk about the engine anymore because they'll have more horsepower than they can use for the tires. So, But I don't think anybody knew this was a path that we could actually go down. So whether it was the same or not the same, I still believe that this is one of the best accidents that's probably ever happened to NASCAR.
There's that question. More horsepower or tires like last week?
More horsepower or tires like last week?
Give me one.
One or the other.
Either one.
Yeah.
But at least I know that the tire thing isn't going to cost us more money.
Right.
If you go the tire route,
you're right.
Goodyear is the one. They're doing the development. If you go the engine route, the teams in the engine shops, they're doing it. Like, so
we can end the engine conversation today if we can build tires like that every week.
I like that. Because we already started. We already in this direction. Yeah. Let's just do that.
Yeah. We didn't even know this was possible. So now that we know it's possible, let's figure out why it happened. And let's do it at a whole bunch of places and figure out what that fall off needs to be. And let's get those Bristol tires built and I'll store them for you.
Look, we didn't know that we could race in the rain until we did it.
That's so, right.
I mean, hey, come on with it.
I love it.
Harvick has spoken once again.
Mic drop.
For who's listening to have this tested out. Okay. Let's do a little social discussion.
Oh, boy. Yeah. This is, I know we talk about a lot of stuff, but this is really everyone's favorite part.
Oh.
The social part. Kevin's analysis is beautiful, but the social side is where we like to live. All right. Hamlin won, right? Denny won the race, and they crushed it. But one thing that they were really good at this weekend was on and off pit road. They're one of the best teams on and off pit road. I saw something that I don't know if it was on purpose or not, but I have to believe he wouldn't have done it if it didn't have a benefit. So on lap 75, there was a caution and the right rear carrier jumped over the changer on purpose. Yeah. He jumped over the changer on purpose. I've never seen that before. I had to stop and rewind. And had to rewatch it again.
Are you sure it was on purpose?
Yeah, because he was looking at him. He jumps over him, and the guy goes like literally under him and around the back of the car. It was like a quick
unique choreography.
It was very wild.
Well, we've seen Gibbs do some choreography changes there on the pit crews. They're not afraid to change up
the flow of the pit stop. If they find something, and that's why their pit crews have always been ahead for the most part. They've always had, whether it's better pit guns, more. Change the flow of the pit stop, whatever it is, put three lug nuts on before there was
before
a lug
nut rule.
They've always been ahead of the game on the pit stop. So I hadn't seen that, but it doesn't surprise me.
I was just like, whoa, did I really just see that? And I only noticed it because they were so fast all day. Yeah. So I was like, that might be a part.
Have you ever changed a tire?
Yeah.
Where? In a pit stop?
Yeah.
Where?
So at SHR, calm down. At SHR, when
He's
I was a
so
mechanic,
insulted. You didn't
I am. They were like, man, you look pretty athletic. I'm like, well, thank you for noticing. Like, you want to go over the wall? And I'm like, well, what's that pay? And they told me, I'm like, let's do that. So I started training with the pit crew team. And I did my first was the World Crown Super Late Model Race. Paul Swan was on the car. Darrell Edwards was on the car. Daniel Hemric was driving. We almost won the race. Fastest pit crew on pit road. I talked to Daniel today. He said he didn't know it was our first day. First time, all of us.
Yeah.
And he got wrecked. And then I did a couple ARCA races.
Let me tell you about my first time.
Oh, you did it too?
I changed the tire. So it was.
You changed a tire.
I changed a couple tires, but I guess it would have been like 1997. I went to work for Wayne and Connie Spears as a mechanic, hoping they would let me drive. So I went on the road with the truck team. So we jump over the wall to do the pit stop. And I swear to you, the very first lug nut that I took off the damn tire hit me square in the lip.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, here's your sign.
This isn't
you are
me.
Not meant to change this tire. And I took those other two tires off and I told them, I said, I am never jumping over this wall again to change a tire. I had a bloody lip. And that was the end of my tire changing duties at that particular point. No helmets, no fire suits, nothing. And the first lug nut just blasted me right in the lip.
At least it didn't break a tooth.
I know.
Can you imagine? Wow.
Yeah. I'm probably a big baby, but it definitely whacked me right in the lip.
It's scary playing Frogger out there because in the ARCA race, some of these...
Did you donate blood before?
I made a very long prayer. But when Haas Development was like, "Hey, you want to go racing again?" I said yes, and then we stopped doing that real quick. So another cool thing that happened this weekend, and I'm not here to pat myself on the back for making this content.
We know you are. Go ahead.
But I will say, Tara Allmendinger was standing behind me during pre-race, and I'm standing next to the pier, and she taps me on the shoulder and like hands me arrow. And AJ starts walking down, and I Simba arrow
Simba up to arrow. Him.
And then here we go. If you go to the YouTube, here's the moment. And it was just super cool because AJ wasn't expecting it. And then he told me, he's like, "I saw some baby." I'm like, "What is going on here?" And then he realized it was
his own baby.
Yeah. So
I love the St. Patty's Day onesie arrow sporting.
Well, moms know how to. Yeah. Moms know how to do it.
Well, they do.
You have a onesie?
It's cute.
I do have a onesie.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is it themed?
Yeah.
I love this. See, that's why I think to myself, oh, man, this is a stupid question, but I'm going to ask it. And then he says, yes.
I can't wait for
so
this.
Now I keep asking stupid questions.
Keep going.
So
what is the onesie? Yeah. Why do you have a onesie?
Okay. Well, there's multiple different types.
Well, right? We call fire suits onesies sometimes.
Yeah, we're not talking about fire suits. We're talking about onesie zip-up pajamas, adult
Okay,
pajamas.
Well, I don't have the pajamas. I do have a couple, like a Frozone costume.
A
you know what?
What
I mean? Like
Frozen?
I have a Frozone. From The Incredibles.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Like I have some costume onesies. And then, you know, maybe once upon a time, male rompers were kind of a thing.
For a brief moment.
I may have purchased one of those.
I have a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle onesie.
For what reason?
Can you wear it right now?
I'll have to find the picture. I'm going to find the picture and I will send it to you.
No, I don't want the picture.
It might not be in existence anymore, but if I find it, I will wear it.
Why did you have it?
I don't remember.
Oh, Delana?
Okay. I think it was a bet.
A bet.
I think I lost a bet of some sort, and I wound up in a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle onesie.
Listen,
and it had feet.
Listen, did you remember
when you were a kid? You had feet in your pajamas
with the sole. Yeah, the grippy. Yeah, yeah.
I remember. You had feet in your pajamas because I definitely had feet in my pajamas.
Yeah.
I think we all did.
Delana, if you can find that for us,
please locate it.
I will. And if you wear it, I'll wear it. I'll buy one and wear it on all the show.
So well, I don't have any. Sorry, guys.
Sounds like
I'm
a Halloween
boring.
Thing.
Yeah. It is a little bit, but
if we're gonna wear a onesie, you're gonna wear a onesie.
Yeah, everyone's getting onesies.
Maybe for Halloween, we'll have to wear our onesies on set.
We'll get the whole crew, everyone on set, to wear onesies.
That's right.
And then, last but not least, over the weekend, Bubba Pollard won his third Rattler 250. So super late model race for those of you that might not know. And Bubba is just an all around badass, and he will be racing at Richmond for JRM. But if you notice. When you win, they bring a rattlesnake and drape it around your shoulders. He looked happy, but I know he was not.
Very uncomfortable.
He is uncomfortable.
No. And he is not holding that rattlesnake.
No, and he won three, right? So they brought three out.
Okay.
So it makes me what are some other wild like victory things that you've seen? I feel like the lobster right?
Denny hates the lobster. He has like a phobia of shellfish or something. Like,
I got a water heater one time.
A water heater.
Interesting.
Here
we go.
Oh yeah, the sword.
Yep, got from Bristol.
You know what I hate is the Duke's Mayo.
Oh,
from
yeah.
So the Duke Mayo bowl game here in Charlotte, and they dump it over the bucket of mayo over someone's head.
That's
disgusting. No. That's cool.
What about the Nickelodeon slime that they used to do in Chicago?
That's actually cool.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the difference between the slime and the mayo?
Oh, massive difference. Mayonnaise is disgusting.
Yeah.
That's gross.
You don't eat mayonnaise?
No.
I don't either.
Have you seen Undercover Brother?
No.
You should watch it and then it'll explain everything.
Yeah, I saw Eddie Dale Jr. was on like a mayonnaise tour somewhere up there. They had this big promotion.
Oh, for Hellman's.
Yeah. Yeah. He eats Hellman's. The mayo. What is it? Mayo and pickle sandwich
That's
or
disgusting.
Something?
I gotta admit, when I moved from California to the South and people were eating like
strange things.
Banana and mayonnaise sandwiches, and there were some strange things that were I didn't eat.
One of my favorite things, we just saw it on the screen, but during one of the bowl games this past year, there's a Pop-Tart,
yeah.
Right? Oh. And he jumps into a toaster, the mascot does, and then at the bottom is there's a Pop-Tart. That person jumps into a makeshift toaster, and pushes out a life-size Pop-Tart cooked.
Wow.
And the winners got to eat that.
So, I used to live on Pop-Tarts.
Really?
Love Pop-Tarts.
Specific flavor?
I like the strawberry with the frosting on them.
Yeah, those are good. Yeah. I didn't have one of those.
Pop-Tarts.
No.
No, it's my jam.
Yeah.
Love it.
Bagel bites.
Bagel bites.
Yeah, I like bagel bites.
Yeah, those are a solid choice.
Pop-Tarts and Top Ramen.
Yeah, we've all lived off that at some point. Exactly. No shame in that game. All right, guys. Time for our happy hour last call. Maybe one last sip. I only have had one sip the whole show.
Trust me. Mine is about gone. So.
Okay, well, Kevin, you're first.
Yeah. No,
I get to go first?
Yeah.
Well, my pick was pretty good last week.
Yeah.
I'm going with Reddick. I just think that they've been close. I think he knows that he can win. He's shown the speed. I think it's Reddick.
Okay. I love it.
You know what? I'm going to go a little dark horse on this one. Mm. I'm going to say Noah Gragson.
Mm.
Noah is actually a very good road course racer, and they have some momentum over there. Yeah. They have kind of their energy in the shop is kind of back to when, you know, Kevin was there and Tony was there. They're feeling good, and this is a good place for him. Mm-hmm. And a lot of variables. So yeah. I think he'll be surprising.
I think Ford's has one road course win in the last 13 shots, something like that.
Was it? Who got
good
it?
Good pick. Go ahead.
What a hater.
Good pick. Go ahead. Moving on.
Would you go? Anyway.
Are you going to pick this week?
I guess I want to pick Ty Gibbs. We've talked about him so much throughout the course of the season.
You've gone over to the dark side.
I picked Raja Carruth to win in Vegas, and the young guys have been delivering for me, going out on these limbs.
Yeah, well, next week she's going to pick Denny Hamlin because you picked him already. Yeah. So here we go.
For next week?
Yeah, watch her pick Denny Hamlin next week.
Okay.
Well, yeah. We'll see.
Gotta go with the wisdom.
I do want to ask our listeners and our viewers, we need some help. We need a name for our group, our regulars, our patrons, if I may.
Like the rowdies, like Kyle Busch has.
We need something to galvanize our community. Mm-hmm. Do you have any good ones? Off the top?
No. We used to just call it Harvick Nation, but that doesn't really fit the show.
No, don't.
Yeah, we can like the Hapsters or something.
Ooh,
Hapsters. We want people to submit ideas.
Yeah,
there'll be somebody I'm not very creative, so there'll be somebody that has a way better idea than I can think of.
So please submit your ideas for what we're gonna call this happening, jumping community of great people.
That's right.
I like patrons, but it's not enough. You guys deserve more than that.
We need some hats that have like the smiley face logo on them.
Yeah, we need some merch.
We need some cool merchandise.
How do I get that logo on a fire suit?
A fire suit?
Yeah.
On a onesie?
Are you going to wear your onesie up on like to announce like the starting lineup?
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be a good advertisement for us in front of all those people. You need to wear some happy hours.
I like that.
Okay. That's a good idea.
You figure that out. You're the boss.
We can figure it out.
Okay.
All right.
We'll get you a real thin onesie. You can wear it again at Halloween.
Thanks.
We look forward to hearing what people come up with. We want to remind everyone to keep subscribing to us on YouTube. Follow us on social media, on X, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, all the places you get your podcasts. Harvick Happy Pod. We got Tyler Reddick on Thursday's episode, but we will see you next week.